you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Around here, we try very hard to emulate the conservatainment concept of the Sam Malone Show. We like to give you what we call consumatainment as part of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. But today we have to take just a few moments and pay solemn tribute to the victims of that horrific massacre in Las Vegas this past week. You know, words have been my business for well over 50 years. But candidly, in this moment, words fail me. And I'm not going to let politics creep into this moment like some people already have. And my only desire here is to extend my deepest condolences, my heartfelt prayers to the people who were killed or wounded, and of course their loved ones who are left behind to deal with the aftermath of such a terrible tragedy. And I suspect it'll be months, maybe even years, before we really understand what the motivation of the shooter was, if he even had one at all. It's human nature to try to ascertain why something like this happened. But personally, I strongly feel there's lots of time for that later. Right now, what we need to do is focus our good thoughts and our support on the people who have been so severely impacted by what can only be described as an unspeakable event. We need to try to heal our nation. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that's a difficult task, and I understand that it's difficult to let the politics and the investigation wait until another day, but today, we just need to take a deep breath and reflect on the victims and their families and their pain. My prayer is that God's comfort and compassion will just surround them all and all of us. Okay, on to better things. Now, I know this is going to be a rough transition, but after all, that's my job, making tough transitions from one subject to another that are otherwise awkward. But there's really no way to do it other than to just kind of jump right in and start up the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. And since this great city of ours is so football crazy, I guess we'd be kind of shirking our responsibilities as broadcasters if we didn't say, how about them Houston Texans? My goodness, what a performance last Sunday in NRG, huh? 57 points? Where'd that come from? I got to admit, I was a little shell-shocked by the end of the game. And if I was overwhelmed by it all, just imagine how the Titans must have felt. Not that I have any sympathy for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, not only are they the Texans' blood rivals in the AFC South, but let's not forget, Bud Adams used to own them. And longtime residents of Houston like me, we have a special dark place in our hearts for Bud Adams. Or I guess the ghost of Bud Adams. He's long since gone to his eternal reward, whatever that might be. I don't know about you, but I was a big Houston Oilers fan. And when Bud Adams moved him to Tennessee and turned him into the Titans, I was heartbroken. Not to mention infuriated. So no love lost for the Titans in me. Now, true, a lot of my old buddies from the Oilers went on to play several years for the Titans. You know, Bruce Matthews, Mike Munchak, all those guys. But Bud Adams, in my eyes, he's always going to be a little bit of a villain. So beating the Titans like a rented mule, that was sweet music to my ears. But at any rate, the Texans seem to have finally found their quarterback, huh? You know, the list of disappointing quarterbacks this franchise has gone through reads like a who's who of NFL journeymen. But Deshaun Watson looks like the real deal. Of course, it's only been a couple of games, but this kid has what my old coach used to call moxie. Boy, there's an old-fashioned term. He's a student of the game. He learns very fast. He can make all the throws an NFL quarterback needs to make. But most of all, he's really cool under pressure. And I especially like the way Bill O'Brien has not tried to force him into a role that he's not suited for. It's obvious that OB sees the tremendous upside of Watson's skill set, and boy, he's making the most of it. Watson's got mobility, he's elusive, he's got a lot of speed. So O'Brien is kind of tweaking the offensive game plan to take advantage of those things. Naked bootlegs, rollouts, quarterback draws, things like that. Boy, it sure did work Sunday, didn't it? Now, don't get me wrong, I like Tom Savage, and he's been nothing but a class act from the very beginning. But honestly now, can you see Tom Savage doing the things that Deshaun Watson has done so far? Me neither. This kid's got, well, moxie, for the lack of a better word. Houston has finally solved its problem. You know, Houston, we have a problem. We finally have a quarterback. But we also have a playoff baseball team, and they look like they could go fairly deep in the playoffs. The starting rotation is pretty stout. Dallas Keuchel, Justin Verlander. Oh, and look for Verlander's girlfriend in the stands. Do you know who Verlander's fiancée is? Kate Moss, for crying out loud. But I don't mean to get off into right field. Aha! See what I did there? Right field, baseball. Okay, never mind. But I do think the Astros' chances in the playoffs are ultimately going to hinge on who A.J. Hinch uses to flesh out the rest of the starting rotation after Keuchel and Verlander. McHugh and McCullers have pitched well in spots. Lance has struggled a little bit lately. Peacock has been impressive. Charlie Morton's been on a tear lately. And experts, which I'm certainly not, experts will tell you a four-man rotation seems to be the best option to get those two aces back up on the mound for the last two games of the series. But the question is, which four? And then you have to consider, if you use Keuchel and Verlander in this series, how's that going to affect the rotation in the next series, too? But this is why they pay MLB managers the big bucks to figure these things out. Ah, the boys of October. And that inspires another event, Oktoberfest, which is the subject of today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Oktoberfest. Now, obviously, the Germans originated Oktoberfest way back in the early 1800s. The first Oktoberfest really wasn't a festival. It was a celebration of a marriage, of a crown prince or something. They staged all kinds of games and dances and activities for the common folk to enjoy. It included horse races. That was kind of the NASCAR of the 1800s. You can't help but wonder who the Dale Jr. of his day was. But they also featured bowling and tree climbing, among some other sports that haven't quite made the transition to the 21st century, if you know what I mean. Of course, the tie-in to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show was the food of Oktoberfest, and we spent a lot of time talking about the dishes they served during last year's show on Oktoberfest. But to kind of review, the first Oktoberfest featured roasted chicken, which usually takes a long time to slow cook, but now you can buy it already cooked in the grocery store. Where's the fun in that? But they also liked roasted pork, grilled ham hock, grilled fish on a stick? Grilled fish on a stick? And sausage. Yeah, sausage. Go to Belleville Meat Market for your sausage. Their sausage is absolutely to die for. Belleville Meat Market is the only place to buy your sausage. And thanks to Jared and Marcus Poffenberger, the owners of Belleville Meat Market, for signing on as new sponsors here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Actually, I'm kind of surprised it took another century and a half to invent sausage on a stick. If they had grilled fish on a stick, how come it took them so long to figure out sausage on a stick? But anyway, pretzels were really high on the list of side items, along with potato or bread pancakes and dumplings. They had red cabbage, cheese noodles. That sounds an awful lot like macaroni and cheese, doesn't it? And, of course, sauerkraut. Boy, that stuff makes me belch. And who could forget beer? As a matter of fact, that's one of the things we're going to focus on today's show. After all, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show has a certain responsibility to recognize the importance of beverages that go along with great food. And besides, it's beer. So, Today, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is going to turn its attention on Oktoberfest. The festival, the fun, the food, and yes, the beer. Why do I get the funny feeling we're never going to quite get around to the festival fun and food part? Well, because a wise man once said, beer, it's the only reason I wake up every afternoon.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Say hello to our newest best friend here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. His name is Dave Fugeron. He's the owner of Southern Star Brewing Company in Conroe. Happy Oktoberfest, Dave.
And happy Oktoberfest to you.
We'll get to Oktoberfest in a few minutes, but let's start out by having you tell us your story, where you were born, where you were reared. How'd you get in the food and beverage industry, that kind of thing?
Well, I was born in Houston. I was born here in 1973 at the now extinct Rosewood Hospital. And when I was fairly young, we moved out to the northwest side, which was way out back then. That was the Cypress, North Houston, Jones Road area. Now it's not so far out anymore. We grew up out there and had a pretty normal upbringing, to tell you the truth. Applied and got into Texas A&M University. And I'm also a wildlife guy. I'm not more of an out wildlife guy, but I like a lot of things outdoors. And I kind of had a passion for ecology and wildlife sciences. So I pursued and got a degree in wildlife fishery science from Texas A&M and graduated in 1997.
And I understand that you almost went into that line of work before you wound up in this line of work.
I did. I had applied at St. Arnold and put out an application as well. I had a few of them out there, but I got accepted to game warden school in Nevada the same day that Brock Wagner at St. Arnold Brewing Company in Houston called me and invited me to offer me the job for an assistant brewer. So that was probably one of the most critical days of my life, making that decision. And I thought about it long and hard, and I decided to go with the latter and pursue a career in brewing.
So tell us how you founded Southern Star Brewing Company. Obviously, your time at St. Arnold's had some influence over that.
Oh, but a tremendous amount of influence. I learned, I can't apply some of the things that I learned in school towards, brewing. It's amazing how biology and even ecology and lots of other things, too. I was natural resource conservation management, so I had classes in ag economics and rangeland ecology and parks and rec. And, it's strange that a lot of those things do come into play in this industry and running a business. So I was with St. Arnold until 2007 when I decided that it was time to make a move on my own. I think a lot of brewers that start brewing eventually decide that they could do this for themselves. And I didn't realize how hard it was going to be, but so there's a little bit of naivety there. But I made the move. I guess now it's for better. I could have, it could have been for worse, I guess. But made the move and started Southern Star Brewing Company in Conroe.
So what was the first beer you guys ever brewed?
The first beer that we ever brewed was our Pine Belt Pale Ale, which at that point in time, it was kind of a gutsy move to come out with a pale ale that was that hoppy right off the bat in lieu of something a little bit more attractive. And it did kind of hinder our growth for a little bit. We were growing pretty good, but it wasn't until we came out with our Bombshell Blonde Ale that we really took off.
So what should we expect when we get the Bombshell Blonde?
Well, the Bombshell Blonde, we made that about 9 months after we started the brewery, and it's become our signature beer. It's our flagship. We sell about 70% of what we sell is Bombshell Blonde right now. So it's just a nice, easy drinking blonde ale. It's fermented. It's fermented cool, or a lot cooler than normal ales are, to give it a really kind of crisp, nice, clean flavor. So it works really well for especially hot Texas summers, for sure.
Okay, I have to ask, what's the Buried Hatchet Stout?
The Buried Hatchet is actually one of probably my proudest achievement as a brewer. It is, it's a stout. I wanted to make a stout because stouts were underrepresented. It's dicey to make that in Texas because it's so hot here most of the time. But I thought, you know, I want to make something that I want to drink, which is the cardinal rule. You should never do that, but it worked out. Usually you should say, what was the market want to drink? But it worked out, just fine. It's a monster of a beer. It's almost 9% alcohol by volume.
Wow.
God gives a lot of people different talents. You know, some people can play football and some people can write beautiful poetry. God gave me the talent of hiding alcohol in beer. So it drinks like it's about 6.5%, which can be very dangerous. And that's why it comes in 4-packs instead of 6-packs. If you're to be irresponsible.
So is that where the name Buried Hatchet comes from?
No, the beer was actually named after a piece of art that my good friend Michael Draper, he's our art director. He's done almost all of our graphic design since we've started. I've known him since 1992. So he's an old friend of mine. He's really, really good at what he does. And he sent me a pen on paper drawing of the artwork that's on the front of the Buried Hatchet can. And I looked at it, I said, that's amazing. And it's going to work too. You know, it kind of did. There wasn't really any hatchet to bury between us and St. Arnold, but if there was any doubt to do it, that kind of, you know, that was kind of it as well. You know, it kind of made me feel better about how things were going.
So it kind of grew organically.
Kind of.
Yeah. We have to ask about Conspiracy Theory IPA. Where did that name come from?
You know, I was thinking about what kind of name I would like for an IPA, and because there's all these wacky names out there for all these beers. And I don't know, I've always been amused by conspiracy theories, and there was kind of a conspiracy theory going around at the time. We used to have a pro-am competition to where we would have a competition of homebrewers, and we'd invite the homebrewers to come make it with us as a big batch, as a one-off big batch. And we would do that every year. Well, we made an IPA, it was a double IPA, that won one of those, and people loved it so much we made about 5 or 6 batches of it. Well, we started making it full time year round. It became our Valkyrie double IPA, which we no longer make. But there was this massive outcry by people saying that's not the same beer, and it was the same beer. You know, and it probably had the crops were from, the hops were from a different crop year, but it was the exact same beer. So I always called it the conspiracy theory. So that was kind of a tongue in cheek name for myself, that I called it Conspiracy Theory IPA. That and the cans just wrought with conspiracy theory symbolisms. And
I thought maybe it had something to do with a grassy knoll. Maybe you grew your hops up there.
There's a grassy knoll on the can if you look hard enough.
And here's my favorite, though. This has to be the most intriguing of all. The Blood Belt Pale Ale. What in the world? Blood Belt?
Yeah, Blood Belt is it's our Pine Belt Pale Ale with blood orange in it.
Oh.
So we just called it Blood Belt. So that's what the deal with that is. I mean, all these beers have weird names. You can tell I didn't major in marketing.
Well, Dave, Southern Star features a really cool tap room. So talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, we just moved. Well, not just anymore. We've been in our new facility for about a year and a half now. We started in a warehouse, and we custom built the facility that we're at now, which is... It's a nice, you know, new facility we're on 13.5 acres, so we've got a lot of area around us. We've got a beer garden outside. We've got a disc golf course in the back. But my favorite thing that we have now is a designated tap room with air conditioning. The old tap room that we had was just in a warehouse with a big fan, you know, trying to keep everybody cool. So we've got a nice, clean, indoor tap room now. Air conditioned is, like I said, the most important thing. To where we don't have to sit out in the 100-degree heat and drink beer anymore.
And people can rent the tap room, is that right?
They can, yeah. They can rent the tap room for special events. We've had wedding receptions. We've had weddings. You know, lots of different occasional stuff. And you can rent the whole tap room, or you can rent just a table. You know, guarantee that you have a table. Sometimes it gets really crazy out here. So sometimes it's a good idea just to rent a table, and that way you've got someplace to come in with a birthday cake or something and sit down and enjoy the time there.
This is Dave Fugeron. He's the owner of Southern Star Brewing Company in Conroe. And we don't do this very often, Dave, but you told me that you can talk about Oktoberfest till the cows come home. So will you stick around for another segment and do that?
I certainly will.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're pleased to be talking to Dave Fugeron of Southern Star Brewing Company in Conroe today. And for those of you who are just now joining us, tell us where you're located, Dave.
We are located right off of Highway 75 in Conroe, Texas, right up the street. We're actually, our brewery is wedged in a piece of land in between I-45 and 75, so we're real easy to find once you get up here.
Okay, you promised us you could talk about Oktoberfest till the cows come home. So have at it, my friend. What are your perspectives on Oktoberfest?
Well, Oktoberfest, the party, there's the Oktoberfest, the beer, and then there's the Oktoberfest, kind of the tradition. So what I was referring to is I could talk about the beer until the cows came home, for sure. so I could talk about a lot of those things. I'll start there. Traditionally, an Oktoberfest is a beer of Austro-Hungarian origins that kind of evolved to be the beer in the area, you know, of Austria, which is close to Bavaria. So it's a beer that's characterized by being very malty and kind of amber in color. It's a beer that has kind of translated over and become popular in America as well. Unlike a lot of beer styles, that one's been continuous. People have been drinking Oktoberfest for a very long time. The beer style is technically called a Vienna Märzenbier. They would brew it in March and then store it in caves over the summertime, and then when the came time to celebrate the fall festivals, they would bring it out and it would be nice and matured.
Wow.
The origin of Oktoberfest in Germany began on October the 12th, 1810. However, now in Bavaria, in Germany, all around Germany, they celebrate Oktoberfest in September. So we carry on that tradition, and we have Oktoberfest September the 30th, but it's kind of counterintuitive, but I guess they celebrate October before they get there.
Well, I think the basic reason there, and we've talked about this before on the show, the basic reason there is in Germany by October, it's cold.
It's cold, right? Right.
So do you guys serve a special Oktoberfest beer?
Oh, absolutely. Our Oktoberfest beer is our fall seasonal. We make it in the Vienna Märzen style. We use all German malts, all German hops, and brew it in a very traditional German way. Lager it for 6 months, or for 6 weeks. Sorry, not 6 months. That would take forever. We lager it for 6 weeks, so it is nice, malty, crisp, and perfect for for the Oktoberfest season. It's one of our most popular of our seasonal offerings.
And do you do something special for Oktoberfest? As far as you said that one of the aspects was a party.
We do. We have an annual Oktoberfest. We've been doing that since we started. So this was our ninth Oktoberfest, annual Oktoberfest that we've had. Unfortunately, I missed it this year. I've got a good excuse. My niece was getting married, so I committed to do that. So we had well over 2,000 people come out here, and they drank 37 kegs of beer.
37 kegs?
Well, you know, you learn something in college about throwing keggers, so.
It was just on-the-job training, eh, Dave?
It was. That's what I tell my parents.
Southern Star Brewing also features a number of special events on a pretty regular basis. You guys just hosted Little Outfit Band last night as part of your local live band showcases. So how'd that work out?
Our band, that's one of the things that I really, really love about having this new place out here is we feature a lot of local music. We encourage local musicians to come out. We pay them to come out and perform original music because I love music. I see that there's so much of a variety of music coming out of the whole Houston area and Texas in general, but Houston specifically, that's what we try to focus on. So our music events are always fun. We have an outdoor stage that's in our beer garden, so we just like to have them come out and play and have a good time. We'll curtail it when it starts getting a little bit cooler outside, but we'll keep it going strong for a while.
Also, one of the things we found most interesting on your website was the notation about dogs. You guys welcome dogs at Southern Star. So why?
People like to bring their dogs. I've got my dog, and I enjoy hanging out with him, and You know, unfortunately, we can't have dogs in the tasting area, in the tasting room upstairs or in the brewery. But we've got this large area out to where people can bring their dogs, and there's plenty of room for, you know, for them to wander around and meet other people and other dogs. And we've never had a problem out here with dogs. It's always been really good time, and, you know, people are well behaved, and so are their dogs.
So with that in mind, it comes as no surprise to find out that you host on a regular basis a dog adoption fair. You're doing that tomorrow afternoon from noon to four. How does that work?
Well, you come out, and we have representative dogs that need homes, and people can find puppy love and take home a dog that needs a home, and you can have a new best friend.
And there are lots of our furry friends who have been rendered homeless in the wake of the hurricane.
There are. Our event coordinator during the hurricane, she raised a lot of money on her own and took a whole trailer full of dogs to, I think, Georgia, to a veterinary clinic that she was familiar with to you know, just do some rescue and emergency surgery. So she's very, very into dogs, and that's one of the reasons that we have so many dog events out here. But, you know, like I said, we all like dogs, so so we do our best.
So that's a really cool event. It's tomorrow from noon to four. Now, one of the other activities that people can enjoy at Southern Star Brewing is disc golf. Where'd you guys come up with that idea?
Well, this whole brewery was sort of founded on a disc golf course. You know, that's something that I've been playing for a very long time. I thought that it was the dumbest sounding thing that I've ever heard of until I actually went out and played it, and then I realized that I really like it. I'm still not very good at it, but I've been playing it for almost 20 years. So the premise is you throw frisbees instead of hit golf balls, so putting is easier for the most part, but it presents its own challenges, and like I said, most of the people that help, in fact, everybody that helped found this brewery is connected one way or another. A lot of us met the same day, or I met a lot of these folks that I work with now one day on the disc golf course in the Woodlands. So now we've taken it a step further in our back lot. We've got several disc golf baskets out there in a rotating kind of course to where we can move the holes around, the tee off places around. And we are actually hosting the disc golf duo coming up. It's our second annual disc golf tournament.
And that's, what, a week from today? Is that right? Saturday?
Yes, yes.
And it benefits a charity. Which one?
It benefits Texas Wildlife.
Which is the company you almost went to work for.
Now, Friends of Texas Wildlife is a fantastic charity. What they do is they take in injured animals. So if you see this squirrel got, you know, I don't know, something's wrong with this leg, you can take it and take it to the Friends of Texas Wildlife, and they've got a staff of vets that help heal the animal and bring it back and rehabilitate it and let it back out into the wild. They have really excellent they've got a really excellent facility that does owls and raptors and all kinds of stuff. They do deer and songbirds and all different kinds of stuff, and they're really neat people. So we've been partnered with them for a good long time, and we think it's a worthwhile endeavor.
We've been pleased to be hosting Dave Fugeron of Southern Star Brewing Company in Conroe. There's a lot going on at Southern Star Brewing, so give us your website, Dave.
Our website is southernstarbrewing.com. It's BREWING.
And you've got a newsletter. How do people sign up for your newsletter?
There's a link on the website that you can find on there to sign up for our newsletter. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We've got all that social media connection as well. But we put our newsletter out just once a month so we don't flood your inbox with Southern Star spam.
Southern Star Brewing Company. They're at 3525 North Fraser Street in Conroe. They are open 4 to 10 p.m. on Thursday and Friday, noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday, noon to 6 p.m. on Sunday, and they have a really cool tap room that can be rented for private functions. So tell us again how people can sign up for that, Dave.
Again, on our website, you can call. There's a contact if you're interested in renting the tap room. You don't have to reserve anything for the tours. You just come out, and we've got tours on Saturday. We've got a tour at 2 o'clock and a tour at 4 o'clock to kind of show you what we do out here, so you can overlook the facility. And any of the other time, you can come out here and just kind of hang out and wander the grounds and meet some new friends and have a couple of tasty beverages.
Thanks for giving us your time today, Dave. Best of luck to everybody at Southern Star Brewing, and let's talk again real soon, okay?
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Enjoyed it.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We have now arrived at one of my favorite moments of every week, the moment when we talk to my old Hudson and Harrigan pal for 30 years, Fred Olson. How you doing, buddy?
I just got to say, I'm doing great, and how about them Texans?
Yeah, how about them Texans? I hear you got to go to the game.
I was here, you know, and I go to one game a year. I go with my godson and his parents to go to one game, and I usually choose the Titans, and I choose October because it's a little cooler.
Uh-huh.
It was gorgeous, and we tailgated, got there like early in the morning, and the place was rocking. And I noticed it was only about two-thirds full, Randy.
Oh.
But you'd swear it was full to the rafters. Of course, a lot of people, you know, hang out at the bar. and they go through there for social reasons.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you, that was a game I will never forget. 57-14, that is a, it's a whooping.
And you mentioned off the air just before we came on that it could have been a lot worse. They left, what, 4 points on the field?
Minimum. Yeah, I think when he threw that one interception that he was throwing to Hopkins when Deshaun did, he threw off his back foot, but, you know, he's still a rook.
Mm.
And then, of course, the missed extra point. So it could have been 61 easy, and that would have been not just a franchise record. I think that would have been an NFL record, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't keep up with all that stuff. But, boy, sure is nice to have a quarterback, isn't it?
It is, and he did something only two other quarterbacks have done in NFL history in a rookie year, 5 touchdowns in a game. I think Fran Tarkenton was one, and the other guy was, like, from the 40s or something. So, I don't remember that.
Sammy Ball.
But it was, there were very few Titans fans there, but they were vocal and they were having a good time until it got to be 44-10 or something.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful. We had a great tailgate, and I think everyone was so enthused because after everything Houston has been through, to go there and just, even though it was only 2/3 full, man, it was loud.
And when you look back on it now, oh, to have won that New England game, or even if they'd started Watson in the Jacksonville game. But if what-ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, huh?
Speaking of which, that's right around the corner.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. You know, I said earlier that this is one of my favorite moments of every week, but my absolute best moment of every week is when I get to watch my grandson, Liam, play in one of his baseball games.
Oh.
He's my little Altuve. He went 1-for-3 last night with an RBI and a run scored. They lost to the best team in the league. He's only 6. The other team is full of 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
So I guess losing by only 3 runs is no shame. But let's get to baseball because the Astros look like they are more than ready for the playoffs, don't you think?
It seems that they went through their injury spate, you know, of stuff, and everybody's back and ready to go. You know, the thing is, until the end of the season here, I haven't been able to see them because I have Dish TV out here in the country.
Oh, that's right.
And you can't get Major League Baseball TV. You can't get the Astros on it. So I've seen a couple of games. And they just look, you know, wonderful. So I really am in the dark about a lot of it. And maybe that's going to be good for me because they'll go, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Wow, that guy's good. And I'm looking forward to it. I think I want them to go all the way. I think it would be so fabulous for the city and for baseball. And you think, remember when Crane Bottom and took it to the American League?
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't watch him anywhere?
Yeah.
This is a dramatic turnaround in any sports franchise for them to do what they've done. Played Moneyball, done it well, got a great farm system, and putting together just a heck of a run here.
Yeah, we really moaned and groaned when they were losing so many games, and now they win over 100 games in the regular season. But let's face facts. It does not matter how they start. It's going to matter how they finish. That's what everybody will remember.
Well, I think they got the fan base back.
Yeah. No doubt about it. You remember all those days when we went to those playoff games in the Astrodome?
I remember when we got to throw out a first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually got it to the catcher.
The moment of truth, right?
When I see people, dignitaries or whatever, having to do that, I go, oh, man, I know what it's like because everybody's watching.
Yeah.
And if you bounce it in, they'll never forget that. They go, remember when Obama bounced that one into the catcher? You know. But I remember the Astrodome so well because as we pulled in for the game, the Texans-Titans game this last Sunday, I looked over at that old building and I recalled the demolition derbies we did,
mm-hmm.
the go-kart races, calling monster truck races, the football games, just crazy, and the rodeo stuff we did, riding around, and just, you know, that's always going to be one of my favorite buildings.
But the Boys of October inspire yet another subject of conversation that we're focused on today, that being Oktoberfest. I did a lot of research on Oktoberfest for last year's show. I don't know whether you remember this or not. It all started as a celebration for a royal couple. They were getting married, and the Germans being the Germans, just decided to turn it into a beer bust every year. That was way back in the 1800s, so it dates way back. They had horse races, bowling. I didn't know bowling dated back that far. And tree climbing. Boy, wonder why that never became an Olympic sport.
Well, see, bowling, Rumpelstiltskin, wouldn't that bowling?
Yeah. And they actually started Oktoberfest in September because, let's face it, in the Bavarian Alps, by October, it's frigid.
My question is about Oktoberfest. Who designed that 1 gallon beer mug?
An alcoholic.
I have friends who've been to that, and I think there's a certain, you notice these women who carry like four or five of those in each hand?
Oh, yeah.
They have to be specially, I don't know, Clydesdales. They have to be, not the women, but... Maybe we better stop that right there. Because, yep.
Keep digging, Fred. Keep digging.
You have to come from certain stock to hold eight of those mugs. Oh, my goodness.
So what's your favorite German beer, Fred?
Okay, my favorite German beer. One of my favorite, Warsteiner, is a good German beer. You can actually buy it. You can buy little kegs of it, and you can buy it in the bottle, I think. Yeah, it's good. It's good German beer. Gosh, there's other ones. I have to think about it. That's a curveball. I like Belgian beer. I like Stella, nice light lager. One of my favorite beers, you had Carbach on, recently?
Yes.
And their beers, I think, they're great. I mean, they have a thing called a Weekend Warrior that I had some this weekend, and I was a Weekend Warrior after that Texas game. And they have good hop. They have Hopadillo. They got a just great beers. So I've become a huge Carbach fan.
Well, you know, I quit drinking alcohol, 20 years ago. So I developed quite a working knowledge of non-alcoholic beers, and my favorite German non-alcoholic beer is made by Beck's. And there are a lot of experts who are convinced that the Germans make the best non-alcoholic beers in the world. But then there are a lot of experts who think that, I guess, Germans just make the best beer in the world. So that would be a natural assumption. But let's talk about food, too. Oktoberfest food. You were talking about sausage. You guys did some sausage during the Texans game?
Yeah, we have bratwurst, and they do a different twist on it. Of course, they grill them up right there in the back of the pickup, and they'll get a huge flour tortilla. I mean, the thing is, like, huge. And then you lay a large knockwurst in there, or bratwurst, rather, or spicy sausage, whatever. And then you put in a grilled bell pepper and onion on top of that, and then spicy guacamole, maybe some pico, and it's really kind of a German tamale thing going on.
Yeah, and it's a meal within itself, right?
It is, and that with a good beer, it was amazing. We ate a few of those, that's for sure.
And before we came on the air, you mentioned sauerkraut. Do you have a sauerkraut recipe you'd like to share with us?
You know, I was talking to Bev about that this morning because she is German-Czech, and we were talking about the different ways we enjoyed sauerkraut, and I remember one that she likes too. When I was a kid, they put it in a frying pan with some bacon grease and almost kind of cook it up, and you put that on a Kaiser roll with a sausage or even a hot dog. That's good. Bev makes a cold sauerkraut salad.
Now, how does she do that?
She does it with either a sour cream and a bit of mayo in it, and salt and pepper. A lot of salt and pepper for her. And at first I thought, well, I'm not going to like it, but it's kind of like German coleslaw. It's really good.
Well, I don't know because I'm not an expert in any of this area, but I understand that red cabbage is a big deal during Oktoberfest. Wonder if that has anything to do with sauerkraut. I have no idea.
I like cabbage shredded and done like that. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, my friend, it's time to put on my Lederhosen. Do you know what Lederhosen is, Fred?
I do. I took 3 years of German. I know Lederhosen. Yeah.
I'll have to tell you the story about Tom Parr and the Lederhosen that saved his life. That's another subject for another day. No, that's a true story. But thanks for carving out a few minutes with us, and you and Bev have a great weekend, okay?
Yeah, we'll see you later, Hosen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.